Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down our top five general hospital memories. This is an episode that is sure to be fun and a little bit filled with cast nuts. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
I lost myself in the intro.
I know.
Reagan,
you need to find yourself.
Hi. I'm guessing Luke's list is all Cassadine memories.
You know, I was compiling my list, and as much as, like the Cassadines and Quartermains are probably two of my favorite families along with the Chandlers, so those three. But surprisingly, because this is moments and not necessarily epic long storylines or individual characters, I found that I have surprisingly fewer Cassadine and Quartermains in comparison to what I expected. Kicking things off, ladies first, Reagan.
Of course it's ladies first. So are we going with number five?
Number five.
Number five would have to be... And it was kind of one of those aha moments when I was thinking about what my favorites were. It's Alexis at her sister Christina's funeral, and she gave everybody just a little bit of hell. She was just, Nancy Legrand was just amazing, and she called Sonny's ancestors peasants and said, "I could put a curse on you like all my Cassadine ancestors would do." And she gave Jason hell and Roy hell, and she was just, I don't know, she was badass. And then she threw those ashes on Sonny. Oh, that was pretty damn cool, too.
That
was
over that made-up sister that they just threw in there.
But she now appears on almost every sci-fi or fantasy series that you can...
But she was still great, and it was such a great moment. I just remember loving it. She just, like, shows up in that red suit. She's just like, "Thank you for coming to the memory of my sister's murder."
Jamie, who did you have at number five?
My number five... it's basically, I'm pulling a Luke for my number five. It's a series of moments that basically were all the culmination of the same storyline at the same time as Lucky was dealing with his beloved Elizabeth being raped, when his brother Nicholas to the Prince to the Cassadine informed him, you know, because Lucky was mouthing off about how Stavros had quote-unquote raped Laura, and Nicholas had to be the one to tell him, "Mommy consented to do the business with my daddy, but your daddy raped on the floor of the campus disco." You know, and one of my earliest memories of Luke and Laura, since I started watching in 93, was of Luke's relationship with his cowboy. So to see that destroyed in his eyes, Jonathan Jackson, oh my gosh, Tyler Christopher, it was just amazing stuff, which led into the bigger moment, which is Luke having to relay to his teenage son who was dealing with, you know, his girl being raped, that he had done the same thing to the boy's mother. So that's my number five. It was soap opera gold.
Coming in at number five for me is a moment that I wish would have happened more often, and I thought that over the years was not exploited enough. And that was Sam and Elizabeth's rivalry, which culminated in one scene at the black and white ball where both of them slapped the crap out of each other. Absolutely love that scene. I always thought that they never did enough. For Liaison versus J-Sam. To me, it was always sort of, we're going to go with one or we're going to go with the other, but it was never really an active triangle the way I felt it had the potential to be. So after years of this, to see those two women with all their various histories slap each other, loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Reagan, number four.
Kind of piggybacking a little bit off of Jamie, my number four moment was just, and I hate doing this because GH is so dark that a lot of my moments are sad moments, but Elizabeth crawling out of those bushes, it's just such a memory that's going to be stuck in my head forever. And just the look on Rebecca Herbst's face and how well she was playing that moment of just horrendous pain that Elizabeth was in, and then Lucky finding her, and yes, what Jamie said, just the payout for that story with Luke having to admit to Lucky what he had done to Laura. But just even when Bobby was called in during that whole evening to help tend to Elizabeth, when she even looked at Luke and said, I can't even look at you right now, just because you knew that the whole unraveling was starting and that it was all going to come out, and their children were going to find out what happened to them all those years ago. But it's just, yeah, that moment of Elizabeth crawling out of those bushes still like shakes me to my core anytime I think of it and see it.
Jamie?
My number four is the moment that carried me through many, many years of blogging for Daytime Confidential, waiting, hoping for another one like it. Because at the time that this moment happened, there wasn't much to keep me even wanting to blog about soaps. And then a beautiful girl walked up some stairs to Forever when Liz and Jason made love.
I'm so glad it's just the three of us tonight.
Hallelujah! Praise soap Jesus! When she walked up them stairs destroyed because Luckett was a low-down, dirty dog, and Jason was reeling from the fact that Sam was over there using her butt to mop up Alexis's floor with Rick. And they came together in the most beautiful, magical, majestic moment.
With the last box of faulty condoms.
Yes. Thank you, Edward. Because it created that beautiful little blonde baby that they had to kill. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Liaison making love. It reignited the soap fandom in me. I was like, finally, I have a couple to root for. So, gotta love it.
Coming in at number four for me might surprise, or my pick for number four might surprise some people, because it involves the mob. I think it's the only one that actually involves the mob, but I'll never forget the scenes.
I know what this is.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what happens when you've recorded 700 and some podcasts. Faith Roscoe versus Jason in the church, him coming in, both guns blazing. That whole church scene was probably one of the best choreographed scenes on General Hospital that I can think of since I started watching in 1998. Absolutely loved it. And Faith Roscoe, I want her to somehow come back.
No, sir.
Ron Carlovati could bring Faith Roscoe back, and she could come out, turn out to be a Cassadine, like I always hoped.
Oh God, and no!
Can you imagine?
No.
Really, Helena's granddaughter?
No.
It would be so.
Granddaughter, hell, Helena just had a 20-year-old daughter. She told me to tell you her eggs are good and young.
That's true. That's true.
Nobody.
All the more reason for her to come back as her daughter.
Join fanfiction.net and have at it. Because no, don't nobody want to see that madness but you. You got
Faith Roscoe coming back.
Duke.
Would be fantastic. Even if.
What they going to do? The Legion of the Return of the Dead? No.
Even if she wasn't a Cassadine, Faith Roscoe returning to town would be fantastic.
You read the GH history so you can learn that there are plenty of living Cassadines out there to come back. Victor.
Exactly.
Like that. Do you keep on creating these fake Cassadines?
No, I don't. No, I don't. There's the possibility that Lydia Karen
is
on.
Stop bringing up Lydia. Stop bringing her up.
Lydia, ever again. Be quiet. Be quiet.
Listen, I've always thought that because AJ was with her and Nicholas was with her, there was the possibility that we could have a great storyline about a child that could be one of their sons.
Listen, she popped up in one of those classic episodes this weekend, and I was like, oh, no, where's the fast forward button?
See, I like the first one, but not the second.
I don't care. It was the character. No.
Reagan, what is your number three?
I knew, Jamie, you would take care of the Night of Passion for me, so I didn't. as much as I'm sure everyone's assuming I'm going to have it as on my list, it's not even on the list because it's just forever in my heart. So it doesn't need to make any silly list.
You see that? Oh, see. No, go ahead.
What?
Says the person who did a whole bunch of culminations for his number five.
Did not fix your mouth, your face, your behind, your eyebrows to say that. Whatever job I have ever done with you in the course of 5 years leads to you picking 10 choices. But my number three is a three-way tie.
I am the moderator of this podcast.
Give a damn. Aaron Spelling was moderator of Melrose Place, but it wouldn't been on.
And Aaron Spelling got what he wanted to.
If it wasn't for Heather Locklear, it would have been canceled after the
I hate to break it to you, but Spelling was a success before.
No, Melrose Place was not a success before Heather Locklear.
But Aaron Spelling was.
And I'm the Heather Locklear of this.
Reagan, finished your number three.
But I knew Jamie have the Night of Passion covered, so I wanted the moment sort of after the Night of Passion. But it was when Elizabeth told Jason that he was the father of the baby. But I need to back it up a minute, because what really it is, is right before that was that whole montage of after the MetroCorp blew and One Goodbye is playing, and it's the whole montage of everything that had happened over all those days, and that whole ending to that great, great story and the way they shot it and ran it back and told us a day for every or an hour for every day that it aired. I just loved it. And then you have Jason scooping Elizabeth up and running her into that elevator and they're trapped in there. And then she tells him, I can't lie anymore. You're the father. It was just, I loved that whole moment that stretched out over that episode.
Jamie, who or what do you have at number three?
My number three is a classic. You can't mention this without some champagne glasses going clink. Boom! Bye, Lily! You know, clink, boom. Come on. Mm-hmm. You cannot think about this show in the past 50 years, past 20 years, past 80 years without that moment. You know, Guza gets hated on a lot, but you just can't think about GH without clink boom. I mean, this ultimate quadra angle, Brenda and Sonny, who were the second generation Luke and Laura, no doubt, torn asunder by the fact that Sonny has to marry this mealy mouth little mob princess, and then the dashing Jasper Jack swoops in on Brenda, and just as Brenda and Jax are getting married, you have Sonny and his pregnant Lily being, you know, toasted up, and, you know, not really toasted, but being, well, you know, all the well wishers at Luke's club, and, you know, Lily goes to get in the car first. Look, let that be a lesson to you, ladies. Don't get in the car before your man. Because,
especially if he's a mobster.
Yeah. And especially if your daddy is a mobster who wants him dead. Yeah. It was just, I was screaming. I will never forget, because I wanted Sonny and Brenda back together so badly. But I also liked Jax, because, you know, that was, I always considered that the classic triangle, because every girl I knew in high school was a Brenda Barrett who, you know, should want the Jax, you know, the guy who treats her well and gives her, you know, cream covered strawberries while she sits in her satin pajamas and giggles. But they always want the one who's going to scream at them and call them a whore and break glass at their feet. You know, that's the one they wanted, you know, because that's usually the one that can lay it out of. But, you know, that was just the perfect, you know, triangle for me. And I was just screaming, Brenda, I was, forget Lily, I wasn't even worried. I was happy. I was like, yes. But I'm like, Brenda, you can't marry him. He's free now. He's free. So, yeah, gotta have clink boom.
Coming in at number three for me is a fairly recent moment, story.
And her daughter showing up.
No, Edward's passing. Edward and Adam Chandler are my two favorite patriarchs. And so the fact that one of them passed away in real life, and then they gave it probably one of the most touching farewells that I've seen in a very long time for a patriarch or a matriarch on soaps. Absolutely loved it. Even the cheesy part of Lila and getting up out of her wheelchair and them walking up the stairs together, I could even accept that because of everything that preceded it. Absolutely loved it. Coming in at number two, Reagan.
I had for number two, Clink Boom. Of course it has to be on. This one has to definitely be on the list. I'm going to put this one on even though I didn't put my other one on there. But yeah, just for the fact that it is one of those, oh my God, moments for any TV show. If you were watching it anywhere, you would have been like, holy shit, did that just happen? But yeah, Clink Boom was and always will be one of those storylines that you'll never forget about General Hospital.
Jamie?
My number two is a moment during Alan and Monica's 20th anniversary celebration. As much as I loved Sonny and Brenda and Lois and Ned and all of the younger characters when I started watching, I really, really fell in love with Alan and Monica and Bobby and Tony for different reasons. You know, Bobby and Tony were that couple you wanted your parents to be before Bobby started running around in the catacombs with Damien and all that good stuff started. But Alan and Monica were the couple your parents really were. Hello, y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. My grandparents acted like Alan and Monica. They did all of that stuff on each other except drop a house on each other. So I identified.
You have some crazy family.
Oh, you would not believe. My grandparents.
I don't think my parents would ever try dropping a house on one another.
If my grandmother would have figured out some, if she knew how to do the construction, she might would have tried. So I identified with the fact that there was this, because they were so unique for daytime, because I grew up watching Days, you know, and the Hortons were so loving. And, you know, once you reached super couple status on Days, you were just overly loving and affectionate, and you occasionally went blind or lost your hearing, but, you know, you were still just lovey-dovey, you know, until Stefano put you in a birdcage or whatever. But, oh, GH, Alan and Monica were real. They were like, you know, you're a whore, Monica. You know, and then the father, you know, grandfather coming in there and being like, I knew you were never the businessman I needed you to be. So, I mean, it was just like they were a real family, even though they had all this money. But the moment, the actual moment during the episode, they were about to break up. And Alan is like, you know, I'm going to, he says something to the effect of, you know, I'm going to forgive you. You know, I always do, or something. And she's like, why do you put up with me? And he says something quippy, and, you know, they make it through again. And they cut to a Celine Dion flashback. A flashback set to Celine Dion's Because You Loved Me. And I'm a sucker for the musical montage. And it basically was the entire history of Alan and Monica's romance set to that song. And I cried like a baby. And I was like, oh, I want somebody to try to drop a house on me. It was just incredible. All the affairs, all the everything, they made it through. So that was my number two.
Coming in at number two for me is, this one is more of a storyline, but it, Reagan already touched on it. After Liz's rape, I remember watching Lucky and Elizabeth deal with the repercussions of what happened, his trying to help her, and I'll never forget it. It was one of the things that was a storyline that transpired early in my GH experience, and stuck with me ever since. And I think that it was fantastic acting at the time, and both of them are still good, fantastic actors today, but I'll just never forget it. And I realize that there, as even though I never really considered myself a Liz and Lucky fan, as I was going through my list of honorable mentions and actual picks, I realized, boy, I have a lot of Liz and Lucky on here. Jamie, or actually Reagan, what do you have for number one?
Oh, the same. Well, the episode that no matter how many times I've seen it, no matter how many times I've YouTubed it, I cry every single time I watch it, and that's the moment that Stone died. It's probably a little sick and twisted that it's my favorite moment, but it was such a defining moment, I think, for General Hospital, for Robin and Stone, for what it meant for Robin, who they also made HIV positive. It was just having him ask her to stand in the light and have him say, "I see you, Robin, I see you," and then have him pass away right immediately then was just heartbreaking and perfect all at the same time.
Jamie?
My number one is a moment of bitch goddessness that bitch goddiosity that it was the culmination of an All About Eve storyline brought to Port Charles when, after the snowstorm, Barbara Jean Spencer learned that Carly Roberts, the bitch who had stole her husband and seemingly got pregnant by him, we know that wasn't his baby, admitted to Bobby that she was her long-lost daughter, Caroline. And Jackie Zeman, as I recall, her face had this look of shock, and then the lines uttered out, "You bitch. You are such a bitch." Like, basically, because, you know, Bobby had helped Carly, you know, during the snowstorm, and, you know, they had like a thawing of their relationship. So immediately Bobby is like, "You're bullshitting me," you know, but, you know, we all knew it was true, and it led to this moment of, "What the heck, you crazy, you know, you came to this town with that much hatred for me because I gave you up, and you had to destroy my life because of it." I mean, it was just, it was amazing. I mean, All My Children, you know, did a similar storyline with Kendall and Erica, but I have to say, as much as I loved that one and it was so much more over the top, there was just something. I loved Kendall on All My Children. I loved Sarah Michelle Gellar's Kendall, and I rooted for her because Erica just kind of got on my nerves. So I was like happy to see Kendall pick apart Erica's life. But on GH, Bobby was my heart and soul. And so I was forever, and so was Robin. And so Carly was messing with my two girls on that show. I'm like, "Oh my God, you are messing with Bobby and Robin all the time." So that was like the first moment that I felt Carly was human, though. Because at first I just thought she was the most disgusting beast of a human being. And then it's like, "Oh, okay, she really does love her mother." But it's like, "Oh, now you want to tell her you're her mother after you've done all this stuff?" It was incredible. And, you know, that was one of the most well-crafted. It almost makes me cringe when they do secret child storylines now. Because, of course, now we get, you know, Daniel is Maggie's missing egg on freaking Days of Our Lives, when I'm used to the secret child storyline being one of the best ones soaps used to do. And it's because of storylines like this one, like Caroline is Carly, that I'm so hard on, "Oh, this boy is the egg that got stolen from me when I was at the East Egg Hunt." That's why I'm so hard on stories like that, because I'm like, because I've seen great, you know, surprise parent child storylines like Bobby and Carly.
Coming in at number one for me is the scene / story that I credit with hooking me on General Hospital. That was Catherine Bell's murder trial and Helena Cassadine testifying, and then Catherine Bell coming out and being alive. That is what hooked me on General Hospital. By far and away, and I've been a fan of Helena ever since. I don't care what she does as long as she's on my TV screen. Even when she was dodging bullets today and Dante was diving behind tables that didn't look like they could actually, like, survive a bullet, it was just, it's my Helena.
I know she must take all her Metamucil. She must take all of her calcium pills, because Helena 900 years old and she be ducking and dodging bullets. I'm like, most women that age can't even bend over. Helena's like, duck, fool.
Honorable mentions. I have a giant list that feels like a Christmas wish list to Santa, but Reagan,
Does
what
it?
are yours?
Oh, gee. Continuing on with my sad theme of the night, BJ's heart story, especially when Tony leaned down and put his ear to Maxie's chest to hear it beat. That is a moment for me. Probably Elizabeth finding Jason in the snow. Not like the most like wow moment in GH history, but it's what's really started the relationship advancing. And he hid out in her studio and recuperated, and they had their Christmas in her studio. Probably also them dancing in Kelly's. Because she used to do that with Lucky after he perished in the fire. Jason was a friend to her, and Carly, I remember Carly looking through the window at Kelly's Lullaby Massacre. That's another like great GH montage moment, storyline, whatever you want to call it. That one's awesome too. Probably my only like funny one that I could think of really that I love is when Brenda was retelling the tale of her and Jason getting married to the Quartermains. I thought that was funny.
They should have stayed married, quote unquote, much longer because Jason and Brenda as a pair were great.
Of course, the Night of Passion is on here because I had to write it down. I couldn't not have it written down. Yeah, I think that's all I jotted down. Frisco catching Felicia. I have to have my Frisco and Felicia on here. Frisco catching Felicia in his apartment and thinking she was a boy. That I just always remember that when he kind of first caught her going through his things when they first met. That was like the start of their little relationship. I always remember that episode.
Jamie?
I have a lot of Brenda on my honorable mentions.
Imagine that. It
Brenda.
was it, it was it her recent stint with Franco?
You shut up mentioning Lydia. Brenda, Carly finding out Brenda was alive at the police station and Brenda calling Carly an idiot. Just, oh my God, the way Vanessa's Brenda treated, her vibe with Tamara's Carly, she just dismissed her. It's so funny, the differences with the three Carlys. Yes, and I say three because I don't count that other Jennifer, whatever.
Bug-eyed one.
But that moment where she's like, she basically dismisses her and is like, idiot. And then, of course, Brenda walking into the church right as Sonny is shot. Oh, gosh, so many. The Quartermaine's having to deal with the fact that the Spencer's dog impregnated their dog. For a funny one. Oh, Lord, that show. I mean, it's give any moment where Tracy waltzed in trying to take over ELQ over the years, that was always good stuff.
Oh, yes.
I'm just trying to think. Have had so. I mean, it's been 20 years. Now, you mentioned, Luke, that the Catherine Bell murder mystery was what hooked you. What hooked me to the show was, Bobby and Tony's marriage. So, I remember one moment that stands out when Amy Vining, of all people, was the one who knew that Carly was a mess, and she told her, "You just think." You just walk around here acting like butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. So it was just funny to me that the daffiest, dingiest character at GH was the one who knew that Carly was, not this sweet little thing that everybody thought she was. Oh yeah, it's been some good moments. I have to mention this one because I've seen the episode, even though I wasn't watching when it originally aired, but we cannot leave this without mentioning the original Luke and Laura wedding.
Oh yeah. You didn't watch it on the marathon?
No, I've seen it before, on marathons, but I know this was Easter weekend and black folks.
Exactly how many of those 51 episodes did you end up watching, Reagan? Just out of curiosity.
I watched a lot of them, and obviously it was pretty darn successful for SoapNet not being in a good part of the country that they're going to re-air them. Yeah, that they're going to re-air them.
They need to put that all in a commemorative box set and charge $40 for it, and people will drop a fortune.
I'm telling you, everyone that had
rights it was astronomical. But the other one for me, from the classic days before my time, was Laura showing up at the mayor's mansion. I mean, it's very hammy because Laura told you Gary could chew some scenery back in the day, better in a good way. I was like, Lord, you gonna make her run off and hide again? That was just awesome, you know.
Yeah.
My honorable mentions: the boxcar with Lucky and Liz, Jason visiting Edward after Lila's death, best acting that Steve Burton did while I was watching the show, Robin telling AJ the truth about Michael, the Quartermain Thanksgiving pizza. Pretty much anything with Tracy Quartermain, regardless. It's just blanket. Any scene with Jane Elliott is amazing. The Port Charles Grill fire, which I'm always pissed that actually was destroyed, and now it's the Metrocourt, but that leads me to the next one. The Metrocourt with Jerry Jacks holding everybody hostage. I will never forget Alan coming out of there. And even though it's terrible that Stuart Damon's character was removed that way, never forget Alan falling and collapsing out in front of everybody.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
You know what, though? I look at a storyline like that they put all that into, and if nothing came of it, I would have been like, okay, it was a really good story, and I'm such a diehard General Hospital fan, I would have let it pass. I've been tuning into Young and the Restless, and I've been getting into it, and they promote these big events, and nobody gets hurt. Nothing happens.
Well, Jill Baron Phelps is scared because she has been forewarned. Don't you mess with Kate Chancellor, Nick and Newman, Jack Abbott, and Victor. Because
but nothing happens.
But still, even the storm of the century, nothing happened. You have the shocking wedding. It was like,
oh,
seriously,
Lord,
that's
Jesus,
it?
Jesus, please don't let her be listening, because she going to say, see, they want me to kill a vet.
Killing a vet, but have to kill vets like when that bus crashed and you had bodies laying all over the place. I mean, they could at least
Adam
have done something
shot.
Like that.
Adam got shot.
No big deal. Adam's been getting hurt all the time. Didn't the guy not have eyes 2 months ago? I mean, what the fuck? I mean, it weren't okay, so maybe there wasn't enough timing in place, but like, they couldn't have figured something out. You're getting a new Abby. Let something happen to Abby. Have her wake up with a new face. I mean, I don't know.
If they're going to try and deliver General Hospital style events that they're promoing, like General Hospital style events, even if they're not killing off major characters, they have to do something to make it feel more important, because
I don't
it
like
just
the
falls.
Wedding.
Okay,
listen,
so back
stuff,
to your point about Alan.
I like it.
Always have to be this. I loved Guza, but everything doesn't have. Every soap doesn't.
I'm not saying that. I like the gritty emotional stuff. I'm all on board for it. But don't tell me there's going to be some killer wedding and ain't nobody get killed. That's all I'm saying.
He got shot. The boy is on the bed, tied up to some tubes.
He's not going to die.
The wives are hanging around, trying to give him some magic, but just to wake him up.
He's not.
Another honorable mention, Helena offing the woman in white and abruptly bringing that storyline to an end. I have to give it an honorable mention. I have to give it an honorable mention just for the fact that it put us out of our misery by doing that. Listen, that was a terrible storyline. And in one fell swoop,
this a G.H. Luke? This ain't the...
Yes, that is top five, that is the top five honorable mention moment, because let's face it, that was terrible. Garen Wolf was terrible, and they came in, and they cleaned up shop fast. It was fantastic.
If we were doing our favorite Dallas moments, I can damn sure tell you the I won't mention JR looking in the mirror and shooting himself because he think the devil wants him dead. It's the not the top five worst moments. I wish I had Ingo Rademacher's boomerang. I would chuck it all the way to North Dakota and hit you in the back of the head with it.
The Daytime Confidential podcast does not condone physical violence.
Yes, it does.
Rich and Alexis Christmas tree hunting. Love that. Lucky's kidnapping.
Damn, podcast up so I can watch Dallas.
Lucky's kidnapping by Faison.
Rick and Alexis hopping, jumping for a Christmas tree.
We're
the Days podcast. I would be like,
I was a Texas fan back then. I loved it. Carly and Alexis in the elevator.
In 2 years, we do the Days.
I'll give you, Carly, and out of all this that you've been spouting off, Carly and Alexis in the elevator, I'll give you.
I would give him.
Alexis's cancer.
When we do the Days, I am going to say, Carrie Brady shopping for a bra at Ballistics. That's what I'm going to say when we do the Days with it, day 50th.
Amber Tamlin's Emily and Nicholas's friendship. Loved
that
it.
Ain't no moment. That's a whole 3 year span. That ain't no moment.
Tell me you liked it when Emily tried to fly off the roof of the Quartermain Mansion. I'm all on board. Not their friendship.
Dishonorable mention.
Luke.
Sam not showering between men. Lisa with the HIV positive blood syringe. And anything and everything Ethan Lovett. Oh, and positive honorable mention.
We're gonna leave Ethan alone. Keep trying to bring Lydia
Tony
back.
Jones' death. There we go.
Bring Lydia back to this show, but you keep dogging Ethan.
I'll take Ethan over Lydia.
And possibly he's coming back.
At least Ethan was eye candy.
She has storyline potential. He doesn't.
All, folks.
We would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook. We thank you so much for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye. Bye, mockery.